When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we got Tion Wayne in the building. Can you just pull the mic in?
Yeah.
Just slide it in a little bit. Sorry. How you doing, man?
Chilling, my guy. Chilling, man. Good to be here, you know?
Yeah.
Love for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. I've been informed by multiple sources that you're the hottest rapper in the UK.
Yeah.
You wear that with pride, or are you kind of begrudgingly taking that?
Yo, I like the people judge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm doing my little
thing. I mean, I'm sure there's other people who are in the conversation and stuff, but, you know, I know quite a few people who are very knowledgeable about it, and they all had nothing but high praise when I reached out to them and told them we were doing this.
Oh, yeah, come on, yeah, no, I'll do my little thing, man. I'll do my little thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, man.
How do you feel about, like, where you're at in your career at this point? Like, what brings you to L.A.? Because you're kind of taking new steps in your career that you haven't necessarily before, right?
Yeah, no, it's a blessing to be here. No, big up the team, big up Atlantic, helping me get over here to work and that. And it's just like, you know, I've just done a lot of stuff in my career, and it's just like, I wanted to just like listen to some new beats, you know, get some new sounds, like,
right?
You know, the culture's different, you know, in America a little bit. It's a lot different from UK, so it's just like, I wanted to branch out, you know, because you never know. Like, music is just sometimes.
Just pull that in a little bit more, sorry.
Yeah. Music is just sometimes it's random, you know. Mm. Like, I just go where like I'm feeling inspired. You know what I'm saying? So right now I'm in LA.
Right, but yeah. I mean that's what's interesting. Being like a UK rapper is it feels like so much of it is based on where you're from and your roots and like how real of a person you are. And isn't there something like inherently about LA that's just fake? And like I feel like that's kind of like the connotation to a lot of people is like even if you filmed a video out here, don't you feel like it would be a little hard for your fan base to take that?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't really, it depends what kind of vibe I'm going for, you know? If I'm doing like a little holiday vibe with a girl or something, then maybe, but like, no, I think my fans like it more like where I'm from, like my culture, like more in the UK, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel like the UK fans just want you to be like a true citizen of what they believe in.
Yeah, you
so
know what?
Strongly.
You're right on that. That's good though, man.
I met up with H and AJ Tracy and they did a video here, but it was all in a warehouse, so you couldn't. Because at first I was thinking, like, nobody wants to see them rapping with palm trees and a fucking red, red curb and like all shit that looks super LA, you know? Just a weird look for a UK rapper sometimes. I think.
Yeah, it's different. It's not as, maybe to the fans, as authentic as they would like it to be, but yeah, man, you see me, I just go wherever, I just feel the vibe, man, and then naturally things happen, man. So yeah.
Right, definitely. So okay, let's talk about your upbringing though. Like, what was your childhood like, and what area you grew up in? North London?
Yeah, North London. I'm from North London. Yeah,
right.
Just grew up in North London, Edmonton. That's my area, and it just like went school and that. Had me and my guys like doing our little thing back in the day, trying to just like make our way out, like make our own money, like. Got ourselves in a bit of trouble. So, you know, in the UK, like when you get yourself in a little bit of trouble, it's harder to like, it takes a while for your record to like let you do certain things. Like, so it's like, luckily I started doing the music started working for me.
Because, okay, what age would you say that you actually fully started trying to rap? Because you've been at this for a long time.
Yeah, no, for a long time. But you know what? You see, back in the day in the UK, it's like, When I started music anyway, like, there wasn't really no money in the game. It was just like, it was a hobby. And it's like, everyone that was making music in the UK back in the day, it's like if we was paid, it was like, yo, we was paid like from the streets. Like, it wasn't like we was paid from a tune. Like, so it's just like.
Because this is pre-drill.
Yeah, this is a pre-drill.
Road rap.
Yeah, road rap. Like, we had Afro Swing as well. Like,
right.
Yeah, we had Afro Swing. Like all the people that the streets are listening to, like we were all making our money, like
right
from like the road, like road stuff, like weren't really like from music, so it's like I wouldn't say like obviously it was just my passion then, it was like, yo, I love music, like and like I just feel like I got a talent, like.
I was thinking about this a lot when I was kind of doing some research and stuff. If it feels like in a way the UK's hip hop scene, like. It wasn't really 100% till drill until it really took on this like crazy life of its own in a way. Or would you say that that was kind of true during like the grime era and all this stuff many years before as well?
Yeah, but in what sense are you saying in like
Okay, I'll say this as a blanket statement. I think for any city to develop like a real true regional style and to be known as like a hip hop hub, like Chicago had a bunch of cool rappers, but it wasn't until Drill came out of Chicago that people finally looked at Chicago as like a real player in the music game. And I kind of feel like when UK Drill really hit, that kind of like just it took UK rap to a whole different level.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely played its part, man. But obviously, like I can't forget that like, the people that like, came back before, like the grime scene was big. Like we had people like Skepta, and obviously Giggs was doing the road rap, but like they were like kind of like the first ones to put their foot through the door, like and cross over. Obviously we had other artists that were like doing some stuff crossing out of the UK, but like I wouldn't say like it was like their music was like more catered to like the masses. Like it wasn't it was like what do they call it over here, like commercial, but like. No, we had people that was coming through, but definitely with the UK drill scene now, it's like it's like a sound that is like just the UK has, and it's like it's getting more recognized on a global scale.
Right.
So it's definitely played its part.
Because I feel like once the UK started influencing America, that's when you really knew that like they have fully come of age. Because you listen to New York drill and it's like very very derivative in a lot of ways, it's like, or even I had Ron Suno in here earlier and I told him I was interviewing you and him and his boys were hyped. They're like, oh, he's the one with that fucking body sign, he's hard, you know. That means a lot to like me as somebody who's kind of always been observing the UK scene and everything. That's important.
No, it's really important. I feel like that was a big moment, man. Like the New York and London thing, like I feel like that's kind of like when things started like getting more closer together. Like obviously I feel like Pop Smoke played a big part in that.
True.
You know, he came to the UK and he linked up with a lot of people. He didn't link up with me, but like he linked up with a lot of people. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just right. Like obviously I recognize it. Like it's like, yo, like me, I remember me and M24, we dropped a song and then just like straight after the song, him and Pop linked up. So like I just feel like, yo, like them times like was like, yo, when the UK and the US was kind of making that link for the UK to cross over more. To the US, like I feel like it's just been going upwards from then, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So your early days rapping though, was there anybody in particular who kind of like helped you get into the process of recording and stuff? Or were you really like rapping on the block for years and years before you got into it?
I was definitely rapping on my block for a while, but like obviously I was inspired by like the old like the olders from my area, like some of the OGs, like we had like Scorcher in our area, like he was doing like big back in the day, like he was doing big, so it was just like I was inspired to like, yo, let me do it for my generation. Mm. You get what I'm saying? So when I started doing it for my generation and I started getting recognition, it's like in UK, like it's like, yo, like if you have like one rapper from a block, like it's just like it kind of just helps the whole batch like to just like have a lane to just come out of their area. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like I was like that guy for my generation. But like the generation before, they had Scorcher. Mm. You get what I'm saying? So Scorcher definitely like motivated me to get into it. But like there was a bunch of people I was inspired by, like globally, 50 Cent, all these men, like I was definitely just looking at them and just like, yo, I was thinking like, yo, this is what I want to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's something so different about how rappers' careers get built in the UK, where somebody like you could be like grinding and steadily building a fan base and getting more and more respect over the years. And then you have like a big blowout hit and that takes you to more of like a mainstream level. Mm-hmm. And in America, it sometimes feels like a rapper comes out and like, if they don't become huge within like the first 6 months, then everybody just kind of moves on and they're on to the next rapper. And it kind of says something about the culture in general, because you know, England loves, you know, I don't even know how to phrase it, but
they love a come up story.
They love institutions.
Yeah, okay,
they respect it. You know,
yeah.
But they appreciate the steady come up that sometimes America is so fast paced that we sort of have lost track of that. I think.
Yeah, that's crazy. No. The UK, no, they love it. They love a come-up story in the UK. So it's just like, even a lot of people, a lot of times when I stumble across an up-and-coming artist, like, it's just good to see, like, the people in the comments that are just like, this guy's going to blow soon. Like, I can't wait till this guy gets recognized. Like, and I just, like, I remember those days when I was getting them comments. Like, it's like, I had a batch of fans that, like, knew I was going to do something. So it's like, yo, like, when people come up in the UK, the fans are very supportive. It's just like, obviously, I don't know if it's a global thing. Like, when a lot of people make it, like, a lot of people, like, they find it harder to, like, relate. to the artist. So it's just about keeping that connection with your fans and you're good, man. You feel me?
Right. So, okay. But like early on, how did you even start catching a buzz? Or like what was the first songs that kind of got people excited about you?
You see, with me, I feel like I've had like, because I've been in the game for a while. A lot of people like that, they don't really know. Like I feel like I've had like two eras of like bangs, like where like we are blowing up in this era and then like I've blown up again in a new era now. So just like back in the day, I had a song called Can't Go Broke. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, that was like fucking it up in the universities and the streets, like, and it was like I generated a good buzz from that. But then obviously I went jail for a bit, came out, and then I wasn't as buzzing as like I was in it. And like I wouldn't even say I wasn't as buzzing. A lot of people were still rocking with me, but it was like the scene started to cross over when I was inside. Like a lot of people started having chart success.
Right.
Back in the day, we weren't having chart success. It was just like, we were just doing it as a hobby. Like, and it was just like, we had the streets in it.
Mm.
So a lot of people started having chart success. And then I had no chart success, but I was still a real recognized rapper, like, because everyone knew about me from before.
Mm.
So then Keisha Becky came out around them times. I had Options. I was on Options. I'm streaming NSG. And, like, those were like the two moments when I started getting the chart success.
Mm.
And instead of just being known as a road street rapper, it was like, yo, man's got the crossover commercial. Like, we had like the first drill top 10. You know what I'm saying? Me and Russ, obviously, we linked up with H and J1, you know what I'm saying? So like that's when I started having like the, you know what I'm saying, the real buzz, the buzz that pays.
So you guys, that was the first drill song that reached the top 10, or was it number one?
That was the first that reached top 10. That's Keisha Becky. Body, we had the first number one as well, me and Russ.
That actually is fucking crazy.
Yeah, we had the first top 10, and then we had the first number one, me and Russ, yes.
That says a lot about just like how big the market has gotten how many fans there really are for this shit.
Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy. It's like every time me and Russ linked up, like we linked up twice, it's like it's been massive. Like we were the first platinum drill, like, and then like even when we done Body, like Russ was saying, like it's going to be another platinum, like it's just went number one in UK, Australia, double platinum, you know?
But those songs are that big, and those are the only songs you've made together? And it just worked out like that? You make 10 songs together, and those were just the best ones?
We made together, and it's just like, both of them just connected.
That's actually crazy.
It's crazy, yeah.
It just seems like impossible. Because, like, I don't know, that Body song, I've just been listening to it all fucking day, and it's just something about it is so infectious.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Yeah. No, that was definitely the tune that, like, gave us like a global success, you know what I'm saying? We done well, we went platinum in Canada.
Right.
So that was getting closer like to like the whole, you know what I'm saying? So that's definitely like the UK drill, like it definitely like started pushing more globally. But a lot of people in the UK might not see that as like the UK drill scene. They might see it as a more of a commercial drill thing. Because you see, when me and Russ do drill, we talk about girls, we make it more of a vibe for the masses, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like a lot of people might just say like, oh, the drill scene is like shoot, stab, like that kind of stuff, like, do you know what I'm saying? So, but it's like, that's definitely the first tune that like started like making a way in drill globally.
But how did your mind state change over time? Because I'm guessing that when you first got into making music, that representing where you were from and talking about what you had been through was like a big part of why you were making music.
Yeah,
and now it's like you can make music and make millions of dollars and become famous, which is way different, right?
Yeah, it's way different. But you know what it is? I just try and stay grounded, because you know when I start thinking about the money and that, like it might affect the music. So I try not to think about the money. I just think about like what's my message today? Like, yo, man, I want to say this. Man, I want to tell the people this.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? I want to like try and keep it a story. Like even when I'm making songs like Body, I'm saying stuff on there that's just like making my fans realize like, yo, man's on this level now. Remember when we was here? Like we've come up. Like I'm here now. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like yeah, man, just try and stay grounded when I'm in the studio, and just because I want to keep a connection with my fans.
Do you think that you've grown at like the current success you're experiencing? Do you think that that's because of your growth as like a songwriter and a rapper primarily? Like, do you feel like you've just gotten drastically better at the actual craft of making a song?
Yeah, I definitely feel like practice makes perfect. You feel me? Like, because I've been in the game so long, like I feel like yo, like my ability to hear a hit or make a hit, like it's a bit more advanced than a lot of people, like in my opinion. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I just feel like that's my, like one of my specialities, like just making a smash that like can just fuck up the whole streets. Do you get what I'm saying?
Because
like before I even had Body and Keisha Becky, like I had a few tunes in that lane that was just like kind of really like messing up the streets like all over Europe. So it's just like, yeah, I definitely feel like practice makes perfect, and it just like man can know when it's that time.
Yeah, I mean, you guys really go above and beyond with the videos too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I notice a lot of times with you guys, it'll be like a giant fucking warehouse, a million foreign cars. Like, you just really go above and beyond for that shit. Is that part of the mentality though? If you really believe in a song, you gotta put money behind it so the video looks professional.
Yeah. That's always my mentality. Cause just like, I feel like I always say to my guys, like, cause a lot of my guys make music as well. Like, always say to them, like, yo, when you finish the track and it's a banger, it's a hit, yo, that's your 40%. That's your 40% done. Mm-hmm. Like, you still got 60% of work to mash.
Right.
Like, your video needs to bring your tune to life. So it's just like, even when I made Body, for example, yeah, like, I just got signed at the time, innit? I just got in my record deal, and it was like, it was one of the first songs I made when I got signed, and it's like, the label weren't 100% if about me dropping a song. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna drop this song independent. You know what I'm saying? So I've had to pay for the video out of my own pocket, and it's like, I could have easily just gone and got like a handheld, like, and just done it for like $5,000, like, but like, I spent like a 40 grand, like a 40,000.
So even after you sign, you still got to keep investing in yourself.
Yeah, you got to keep investing. So it's like, man spent 40 grand in the video, we've done all them transitions, and it's like, yo, the transitions is what blew up the song. Because the people started doing the transitions on TikTok.
Oh, okay, like the part where like you're like doing a dance and then the outfit changes and all that kind of shit.
Yeah. We were like one of the first transitions, like Russ came in the video and it's like, he's done the hand movement and then all the man them came behind him in the video.
Right.
And then everyone went on TikTok and started doing the exact same thing from the video.
Yeah. Was that dance going crazy too though?
Yeah,
I don't want to do it, but.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, it was going crazy. So like, yeah, no, that was definitely a moment, man. So like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so. I probably wouldn't even know about so much of like things that maybe you had been involved with in the streets and stuff, but a lot of these YouTubers are hell bent on documenting the fuck out of this. So, I mean, how does that feel to sort of like you're reaching these new heights in your career, but there are definitely people online who want to monetize making sure that everybody else out there knows about everything that you ever got into throughout your younger days?
Yeah, you know what? Like, I try sometimes not to like get too deep into listening to them things, because sometimes I just feel like, yo, like they might make a mistake or they're saying that they're mistelling something, they're just giving the wrong impression about people. And it's like a lot of people will make a judgment of someone, yeah, without even knowing them. Like, do you get what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, it don't piss me off, because like I can't knock a hustle, innit? Like, if someone's hustling, I respect it. Like, I'm a hustler myself.
Right.
So it's like when I see people monetizing off of it, yo, I don't blame them. Do your thing. Like, I'm a happy guy. Like, I'm doing my thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind anyone doing anything. Like,
right.
maybe I'll be looking at things different if I was still like on the block. Like,
right.
But it's like I got a better understanding of a lot of things now because my career is going the way I want it to go.
But it's one thing if they're telling your story accurately. It's another thing if you felt like it was just like, you know, a million views on a video that was full of bullshit. Do you feel like you're mostly represented fairly in this type of thing?
I don't know. Like you can't really be. They can't ever be spot on. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, I don't really look too deep into it. I just let the people just decide on what they feel. Do you get what I'm saying? But it's like, yeah. Now sometimes I stumble across things and I just laugh at it. It's actually funny. Like, just to see like how deep people have got into these things. When I just think like, yeah, like. But like, my thing is just like, sometimes when I look at it, I just feel like, yo, like, rah, like, man, actually came up, like. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like. I'm just looking at the way that they're going back to things, and I'm just looking like shit. Like I'm glad I'm here. Like, and I'm not on the other end of the story. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, definitely. Because yeah. I mean, your mind state must have just changed so much from back in the day. Like when you went to prison, when you got locked up, did that fundamentally change how you thought about your life and everything? Was that like a big turning point?
Yeah. It definitely gave me some hunger, man. It gave me a lot of hunger, and it set me back a lot. You know, like. I couldn't travel like certain places for a while. I had to get look deep into things to get things sorted out. And it's just like, yo, like when I was in my cell, and all we can do is listen to radio, and watch TV, and that shit was just torturing me, because it's just like I'm seeing all the people that weren't as big as me when I went inside blowing up.
Really?
And I'm happy for them, but I'm just looking at it like, shit, where's my time? Like that's why when I see people come out of jail now and have success that they deserve. Potter Papers, Rimzy, these people from the UK, I'm just happy for them, because I'm just thinking like, yo, like we were like one of the first guys like back in the day to do our thing. So like when I was inside, I was just motivated. I was thinking like, when I come out, like I need to actually take this music from, because it's like I was making money in prison from music. And that's when I realized like, hold on a minute, like, yo, like, this can be man's, it can be man's job, like.
Mm.
So when I came out, yeah, I had a different type of hunger. Like, I knew I had to make this work for me. So I'm not on the streets. And it's like when I came out, that's when I had the wave of hit.
Mm.
When I came out, because I was motivated by seeing everyone do their thing.
You just got focused.
I had to focus when I came out, yeah, man.
Definitely. So is it a blurry line for you between, like, representing where you come from and, you know, versus, like, you know, sort of intentionally affiliating yourself with stuff that maybe the law could see as, you know, gang-related or whatever? Because I noticed in some of your videos certain colors that you guys are very prominently displaying and everything. And I just assume for you that might be kind of tricky. Like, you know, on one hand, you want to represent where you're from, but then on the other hand, I know that those cops in the UK are fucking insane with what they will get your ass for.
No. The police in the UK, they don't play.
Like out here it's starting to get more like that, where they're taking down videos for like harassment and shit when it's like gnarly gang diss type stuff. We've seen a little bit of that.
But like, you see me, like, when I'm doing my videos, I'm just trying to represent. Like, I'm not even trying to like put across a message that's gonna like make the youth want to do certain things. I say, like, yo, like, I'm happy I'm not in this life. Like, you get what I'm saying? And it's like, people, what the police need to look at, people like that need to look at, is like, yo, like, a lot of people are getting off the streets because there's a rapper from their area that's doing good. Like, like, a lot of people would have been dead. Like, a lot of people would have just been in prison. Like,
right.
Like, if there wasn't this guy from the area that started getting in the radio, making charts. Like, now you got a manager. Now you got you got someone that's got links with record labels, or all off the back of one rapper. Like, you get what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, like, I just feel like everyone should just look at it as like, yo, this is just like positive for these guys to come out of where they're coming from and do something positive with their life. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Definitely. All right. So this is a tweet. When are we going to stop looking for validation from the USA over here? Can we stop and just do our own thing? If they rate, we appreciate. You feel me? And I thought that was.
Oh, was that, what did I say that?
Yeah. It might have been a little while back. No, I actually screenshot it from a YouTube video.
I stick by that.
Yeah.
I stick by that. Obviously, big up. I'm love for having me here now. Like, you know? But you know what? Like, you see me, like I'm from Edmonton, like I don't know how to put it, like we don't beg it, like.
Mm.
So I don't come up off like begging it. Like, everything is just natural.
Right.
So I just feel like, yo, when the US wanna take the UK, Or if the US wanna listen to UK artists, naturally they'll listen to us. Like,
right.
Like, it's not like before where we need the USA to like validate us. Like you could be big in Europe now, and it's like you're making having the same amount of success as the US rappers having over this side,
right,
just from having Europe. Do you know what I'm saying?
The thing that's gonna blow you up is just being the realest version of yourself, whatever you are. And there's been multiple times where I've seen, you know, UK rappers get features from USA rappers from the US, and I watch it and it just doesn't feel right. And it's just super obvious that this is not an organic hangout. The UK fan base are the most, you know, aware people on earth.
They are not
falling for the bullshit. They know what they're fucking looking at.
Yeah. So like, that's what I'm saying, man. Just naturally, obviously, man, listen to US music, man, rock with the US, but it's just like, yo, just naturally, if the US is rocking with us, it's love. Like, we're rocking with you too, you know.
Mm.
But it's just like, I never feel like the UK need to look at US as like, yo, okay, we need to do this because US is doing this. Like, yo, we got our own culture. Like, I've come out here now and I'm seeing it as well. It's like, it's so different in London than it is from out here. Like it's very way different. So
biggest differences
to me,
the roads are a lot wider, cars are a lot bigger.
The roads are wider. You know what, like, I'm in LA, so I feel like the food's better in the hood food anyway. Even a food like in the uptown, like I feel like UK is better. Like,
we don't eat beans for breakfast.
Yeah, I noticed that.
You guys got better candy.
The room service may be mad on me when I ask them for baked beans. Like,
oh man. I just saw on Postmates that there was like a spot that had a good old fashioned UK breakfast, and like, oh fuck. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's trash from your standards, but I did see one that had it, and it kind of tripped me out. Like,
yeah.
That's not even supposed to exist out here.
Yeah. No. Sometimes the UK breakfast hits, man, without the pork.
Obviously. Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. sometimes it hits, man. It hits.
Yeah, when I'm out there, that's all I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Well, every day at least.
Yeah. I don't blame you, my guy.
Whenever possible. How'd you link with Fabio Foreign to get him on the body remix and body everything remix. Like that?
Yeah, no, man's been chatting to Fabio recently as well. Hopefully we got some news coming soon for you lot.
Mm.
But it's just like, just naturally, man. Like, he's rocking with a tune. Like, do you get what I'm saying? It's just like, he sent over his verse, like, I think it was in like a day after, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. We wanted him to come to the UK to do his scene, but at the time he couldn't make it at the time. So he's done his scene over here, innit?
Right.
And then just naturally, man, like, the song came out and it just blew up, like, on a madness. Like, I don't think anyone knew it was gonna blow up on that level. But
right, like, yeah, because the remix ended up doing like 3 or 4 times as many YouTube views as the original.
As the original, it's
which
crazy.
Is kind of wild.
It's crazy, yeah. Like, but obviously, like, the TikToks were just doing a madness, and obviously RD jumped on the.
And was that one of the first times people saw RD?
Yeah, he had his freestyles that were doing some stuff.
Right.
But I feel like on a mass scale, yeah, that's the tune that definitely gave him a lot of people knowing about him.
Right, yeah. So I had a few people mention that to me of, like, ask him how he got familiar with RD, because apparently some people thought that you guys were kind of unlikely to see together.
You know what, bro? You see me, bro? I'm just a fan of music. I wanted to pre-howl, like, me and him started chatting, because I remember we spoke on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Early on, but like it was just natural, bro. Like I'd seen him. That's what happened. I'd seen him out. Like I was out with my friends, and like, you know, in UK we wear the ski masks and going around, and like I was going into some hotel, like, and he was booked into the same hotel, and he had his freestyles just like making waves on the streets at the time, yeah. And it's just like, I'm coming to the hotel and he's with his people and he's just like, he's a bit scared to see us, like the lowest of us guys, yeah, with our ski mask, yeah. And then I was the one that came up to RD, took off my mask, and was like, yo, big up, like, you're doing your thing, like, it's love. And then just naturally we started DMing each other on the Instagram off of meeting off in that hotel. And then Body came out, the original was going crazy. Then I just said, like, yo, like, stay, like, RD, come hop on, man, we're doing a remix, like.
I feel like that kid really blew up off of just being really, really good at rapping.
Yeah, like, you know? That verse was definitely iconic. It was, like, one of them iconic verses, like, the stuff he said in it, it was just so, like, it caught on so good, like.
Right.
That verse goes crazy. I see him performing that verse all over the world. I see him at Rolling Loud in Canada. The verse was going mad out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, just, like, yo, like, it was just so natural, that, like, and then. That song just came out and just done what it did.
But does it surprise you at all? Like, I was kind of surprised when I realized the H was really blowing up, just because, you know, I hadn't really, I'm probably forgetting, but I hadn't necessarily seen like a cool, chill ass white kid come up out of the UK scene like that. Yeah. And then to see RD come up a couple years later, I was like, oh shit, all right, so they're actually like letting white boys through the door here. Because I'm gonna be real with you, in America, I mean, you got like a Jack Harlow, but it's pretty rare that, like, especially on more of like a street type of, you know, not that those dudes are rapping like super gangster shit, but like, yeah, on that kind of category of rapper, you don't see a lot of white guys really getting respect out here.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is about H and RD is that they're both just actually good in it,
and like, they're real, like, real, yeah, likable, yeah, kind of dudes, yeah, you know,
and they're not trying to like have like a fake persona, like trying to be like, oh, like someone that they're not, like, they're just being themselves, like,
right.
And just naturally, like, people just are gonna be drawn to that. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, man, like the UK just when anything sounds good and they feel like someone's talented, they're gonna cut through, man. No matter what they are, black or white, it's cool.
Yeah,
they're gonna cut through.
You definitely. You're a Central C fan too.
Yeah, big up Century, doing his thing, man. Definitely.
Right.
Kicking down some doors. His manager's my good friend. We grew up together, same area.
Right. That has been pretty wild to see. I think he's the first UK rapper to get a Lyrical Lemonade video and shit like that.
Yeah. No, it's good to see, man. I just feel like it's just like, that's just another example of how like the UK is just like kicking down the door on a wider scale now, like. So when I see Central doing what he's doing, I'm just like, yeah, like, it's all part of the build up, like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, songs like Body, songs like Keisha Becky back in the day, even songs that came up from the grime era. I feel like this all played a part in like us getting to where we are now.
I seen him doing songs with Italian rappers as well, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Have you
gone to other parts of Europe, and do you feel like when you're on a song with somebody who's not speaking the same language as you, that do the fans just not care at this point?
You know what? I just feel like it's just a joining of the fan bases. Like, like, even we linked up with some Italian, we linked up with Rondo, Italian rappers, and Capo Plaza,
right,
on Body Remix, and that went mad as well. That's got
right,
like 70 M's on a YouTube. But it's just like a lot of people, like Europe, like, a lot of people like the Europe link up. A lot of fans in Europe listen to rap in general. So that, like, it was only right that eventually, like, everyone started linking up with each other, and it's just like, naturally, whoever links up with who, things are going well for the Europe scene, you know what I'm saying? So it's good, man. It's good to see.
Definitely. Yeah. So how has your life changed in terms of, like, how you move around? And, like, I'm assuming you don't live in, like, the same place that you were living in a couple of years ago. Like, you must have, like, different security concerns and all that kind of stuff at a certain point, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, you see me, like, that was always my plan, but, like growing up, like, I wanted to move out of the area. I wanted to make sure my mom was in a nice area as well. So it's like, yo, as soon as I started making the money I wanted to, I was house searching, but obviously I'm very picky, innit? So, like, I knew I didn't want to be in the area, but I just didn't know, like, what house I wanted. So eventually, I found a nice low-key one out of the area. Like, so it's like, now when I'm in the UK, I'm not even in London like that. I'm only going to be in London for work, and it's just like, I finally get that peace of mind where I can go around, I ain't got to worry about no issues.
Mm.
And, like, that was always the plan, part of the plan, just to just stay away, make my music, and just do my business ideas and just cut through, man. That's me.
For sure. But do you feel like you lose anything by not being in that environment as much? Or you know, as a rapper, is it sometimes feels like certain rappers, like, that's kind of like their fuel of, like, what they rap about?
Yeah, you know what it is? I'll never be disconnected, though. Like, I'm going to be 50 and I'm still going to be connected to this thing. So, like, it's like, I might have a, like, my friends, like, we don't change up, like, I'm still locked in, and, like, obviously we've got, like, new generations from my area that are trying to come up and cut through. So it's like, yo, man's always locked in. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm never really gonna dilute, because it's just like, yo, I'm still, like, amongst these things, around these things, and I still see people in the position I used to be in, like, and I'm trying to help, like, my people get to where I am, so we can all be good together, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But, like, okay, now that you've had gigantic radio hits and shit, mm-hmm. does it sometimes change the way you feel when you go in the studio? Are you not necessarily thinking about, you know, making, like, more street-type songs? Or do you feel you still have to, like, satisfy that part of what your audience wants to hear from you?
Yeah. No, I'll be lying if I didn't go in the studio and I didn't hear a beat and say, oh, yeah, this sounds like I'm going to get a lot of money, like, you know what I'm saying? So just, like... But, like, obviously, like I said to you, like, I just do whatever feels natural at the time.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if I hear a beat, or if I'm feeling a vibe a producer's making that just makes me want to talk about it, something that people can relate to from a come up, then I'll do that.
I'm sure you've been in the studio and heard 5 million of the same fucking drill beat. Like, like, at a certain point, does it just, you hear it?
Bro, you know what?
It's just get boring to you?
It's getting boring. Like, people need to just try and bring a twist and switch it up a bit. But, like... Yeah, man. No, like, when the beat's good, like, I'm all over it. I'm all over it.
Mm. Yeah. Do you feel like more, like, the sound is going towards, like, more samples in the beats and more, like, lighthearted sounds as opposed to just the straight, like, end of the video game boss music?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the samples is coming in now, because it's like, it's just making a gap between the commercial crowd and the streets, linking it. Like, so it's just like, yo, you got the drill beat for the streets. And then you got the sample for the masses, you whack it into one, like, and it's like,
right.
A lot of people are hitting that, like, but, like, as long as you're making a track that's authentic to yourself, it, like, you can't go wrong, man. That's how I see it, man. That's how I see it.
Definitely. So do you feel like the cops are, like, way more concerned about you now that you're seeing the success, or does it feel like you're kind of being allowed to do your thing?
Like, the way, like I haven't had any encounters I feel like, I don't know what to say, because, like, the ones that I grew up seeing, like, I ain't really seen them. Do you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like there's a lot of cops. Like, when I say cops, I'm talking like you lot now. There's a lot of police that's like,
right.
There's a lot of police that's
talking
like,
about you lot.
there's a lot of police that, like, they might be a fan of me now. It's changing. Like there's police that listen to me now. Like, so when I get stopped by a police officer, for example, like, well, they might just have, like, a fan of my music, like. Mm. It's like, so sometimes I get the respect. Well, sometimes you might have, like, one of the old school police officers that are a bit more like, they don't like to see a black man doing his thing, like.
Mm.
But, like, yo, like, I wouldn't say that they're all like that as a whole. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's got different, like, perspective on what I'm doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Did you grow up around a lot of white people?
No. A lot of my but you know what? See, my school was kind of mixed.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, we like I grew up around a lot of black people, but, like, my school had a lot of white people that were my
I'm just wondering how your success has kind of maybe like changed your view on other cultures and stuff, because it's like once a rapper becomes successful, there's this weird thing where all of a sudden now you're standing in front of a crowd of white people and they're singing the N-word back at you, right? And it's kind of fucking like, I've heard a lot of rappers talk about how weird this is, because a lot of them didn't grow up around white people, so this is like a brand new thing to them.
It might be more intense for other rappers, but like, you see me, like, I had a lot of white friends, man, that was like, I was going to school with and that, so it was like my area wasn't like predominantly black. We just had a big black community. Do you know what I'm saying? So I definitely had my G's, my white G's then, man. You know?
Right. Yeah, the UK is so different too, because I remember the first time that I was in Bristol and we like went out to some.
Oh, you've been about Bristol, yeah.
Oh yeah, because in the BMX days, I went out there on a bunch of different trips.
That's mad.
Stayed in Brighton and Bristol and London a bunch of times and shit.
Yeah.
And I remember being out there and we were like at this rail that was in like a fucking housing project, and the dude that I was with was like, yo, keep your bag right near you and be ready to take off if shit gets going. And I'm looking around and it's all fucking white dudes in like, you know, track suits and shit. And I'm just like, I'm like, wow, this is very foreign to me. Like, I've never been in an all white area in America where people were like, you got to watch out. That's just not like, I don't know. That's just usually not how it goes.
Yeah. No, I feel like there's a lot of parts of the UK that you just got to be a little bit on point, man.
Oh yeah. You watch some fucking documentaries. They got some wild shit out there. White people are real fucked up out there.
It gets crazy everywhere though. But yeah, it gets crazy. Yeah, man.
So, okay, how did you manage to like get your accounting degree? I was pretty shocked when I heard that. I was like, damn, all right. So he's a smart guy, and he's able to multitask by also having this going along with street stuff, rap stuff, whatever.
Yeah. Now you see me, like, I'm Nigerian originally, like, I know a lot of Americans, they don't know where they're from, like, originally, like.
This is true.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. Both my parents are Nigerian. It's like, in our culture, that it's like a real, it's a real important thing for the parents, for the child to go to university and that.
Mm.
So it was like at the time, like, I was kind of like wanted to do my music, and like I was getting my money anyway, but it's like I always wanted something to fall back on. Like, I didn't want to ever be this guy that, like, because if you go to my area and look at my block, like, there's people that are in my area that are like doing up 45s, 50s, they're still doing the same things they're doing when they're, like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be one of them guys, so I was like, yo, listen, like, If I'm not gonna make it as a rapper, I need to have something like, because in the UK, for you to like cut through like in the corporate world, you need something. You know what I'm saying? So like, I didn't get no tattoos. I didn't do nothing. I just said, yo, listen, this is gonna be my little side thing. So I went there, done my accounting degree, got a 2-1, and I've just always had it there. And I always said to myself that like, yo, like, eventually I'm gonna open my own accounting firm. Do you know what I'm saying? And then like, I can start catering to like music artists and like letting them come through to my accounting firm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So. That's always been the plan, man. So I just got my degree there on the side.
That's dope, because there's been so many times where I've been talking to like a young rapper and I realize that they're basically considering dropping out of school. And in my head, as like a fucking dude who's almost 40, I'm just like, dude, do both. Like, do both, school. If your parents are like allowing you to stay with them so you can go to school and shit, that is like the ultimate like cheat code for you to pursue whatever you're into. All you got to do is keep decent grades, and then you have a lot more time than if you're working like 50 hours a week at a fucking job. It's just way harder to pursue your passions at that point.
Yeah, but I feel like it's much harder for the generation now, because like, yo, you could be in secondary school and then you just gone viral on TikTok, like, and it's like you're gonna get $500,000 deal like that. Like, but like I said to you, when we was coming up, we wasn't making money off music, so it was like, yo, I wanted to make sure that no matter what happens, man's gonna be paid. Like, legitly, eventually, somehow I'm gonna be paid. So I just said, yo, this is my avenue here. So like, I can imagine what the young kids are going through now. Like, there's 18-year-olds that are like getting $500,000. Like,
right. Because when you were starting rapping, it seemed like a long term goal to do something with yourself. It's like, you don't think you're just gonna blow up tomorrow.
Yeah,
and on TikTok, no, you can literally get 10 million views tomorrow if you do the dance right.
If you do the dance, that's what I'm saying. So it's like the scene's changed now, man. So it's like, yeah, man, it must be harder for them kids to stay in school, because I can't imagine myself staying in school for a record label's throwing £1 million at me or something.
But so do you stay like, because I noticed you had like an intro in one of your music videos with I Show Speed in it. Like, what made you want to like incorporate that? And do you pay attention to all these like YouTubers and influencers and shit now?
Yeah, I do. Like, Speed is funny, man. You know what I'm saying? So I just like, it was a nice touch of the video just to get him in there. But like, yeah, I pay attention to that. Like, I watch a lot of reactors. I watch No Life Shack. I see him doing some stuff on my videos.
Right.
He's funny. So it's like, yeah, man, I tap in, man. Like, whenever I'm on YouTube, I see a lot of stuff.
Right.
It was just like a good idea just to incorporate it at the start, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's like plenty of UK rappers that I can't even think of, but I'm pretty sure I've heard about who have kind of blown up because of those like reaction streamers and shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's, that's like TikTok, where it's like there's all these like weird routes towards making your shit, you know, making get seen bus. By yeah, people, yeah.
Like we got, like we had, like we got like KSI in the UK, like he was doing
the
crazy.
Goat.
Yeah, man, he's doing his thing, man. That's my guy. So it's like he cut through of YouTube, like, and it's like he's doing so many other business things off the back of that, like doing, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I remember a time period where I didn't think people were going to take him serious as a rapper.
Yeah.
And then, man, he really showed me, like, he just fucking did it, dude.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. No, you see me, I feel like someone like him, like you have to take him serious, like, because he's a successful businessman, like.
Yeah.
Like, he's a successful man, like, so like, I want to hear what he's got to say, because I might gain some knowledge, like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, no, everyone should just not be trying to judge music or.
There's just so many successful YouTubers that tried to do music and it was a joke and he's someone who just like took it super serious and actually like got himself into that position, and it's just fucking bizarre to see it taking place.
No, man, he's doing his thing, and even his drink thing's going off now, man. That's it's good to see, man.
If there's gonna be like a UK hip-hop billionaire, I don't know, hip-hop-ish adjacent, you know, adjacent, it's probably gonna be him. Like he's really out there doing shit on a different level.
Me, I'm coming as well.
I got more than a million in savings. I was like, that's a very specific brag. I like that.
Yeah, come on, that was a couple years ago now, man. That's old money.
Definitely.
Yeah, man.
Nah, but that's good. Who else can you look at, like, kind of coming out of the hip-hop scene, YouTuber scene, that you find sort of inspiring? Like who do you look at that makes you really want to go get it?
But now, like, obviously I'm in the game now, so it's like I wouldn't say I look at anyone specific, like, but obviously there's a lot of people that, like, man look up to, like, from what they've done for the scene and how they came up, like, or I listened to when I was young. People like Giggs, like, you know what I'm saying, like, we done a tune recently, like, someone like Giggs is like, yo, like, he was like one of the first people to kick down the door for the streets. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was like people that was kicking down the door, getting in the charts, but their songs were commercial. Giggs came with Talking the Hardest, and he kicked down the door for the streets. So anytime I see someone like Giggs, like, it's love, like, it's like, this is the big OG, man. He done his thing for the scene, like, and it's like, it's good to see him still having his success, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
Man, I seen you doing a video with fucking Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy.
I was like, man, the UK has a lot of unity right here. Because look at Ed Sheeran looking out for rappers. He's like so many years removed from him having like his rapper type part of his career. And he's still out here showing love and doing shit. Like, I don't know. What was your impression of him?
No, Ed's just like, he's one of the realest people I've met. Like, do you get what I'm saying? It's like, and like, when I do speak to him, I'm always getting knowledge. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, so many things he's bust me on and told me to do. Like, or said, like, yo, do this. Or like, oh, bro, like, have we done giving anything to charity? Like, them reminders, and I'm just like, oh, like, yeah, it's true, you know? Like, love, bro, like. So, like, even outside of us doing a tune, that's actually my guy, like, he's just a proper guy, like, so, like, I don't even check for Ed, like, if I want to shout Ed, like, I won't even shout him for, like, something music, I wouldn't say, like, Ed, like, give me a hook, like, I'd be like, yo, how do I do this, or something like that, like, just a cool brother, like, he just mad humble, you feel me?
Right. Definitely, yeah. Seems like a fucking legend for sure.
Yeah, he's a real legend, man. He's a real legend.
I heard something crazy. I heard that I heard from a certain YouTuber that there may have been a situation back in the day where the cops actually set up a fake record store as a sting operation.
I done that in my hood, yeah.
That's one of the craziest things I ever heard.
Yeah, I'm glad you heard about that. You know what's crazy? Like one of my best friends, the time he went to jail for that.
Right.
Yeah, like my guy Turner, he went to jail for that. You know what's so mad about it? It was like, I just about dodged that operation, like, because it's like, I wanted to go. I remember phoning that studio, like, they're probably going to be hearing this thinking, oh my shit, we nearly got him. I remember phoning that studio to go record. And it's like, yo, like, the way they done it was crazy. Like, there were some people that were not, that we were so young them days, yeah. There were some men that were not, like, on the police system. So, like, they would grab the CDs. That sounds like, like, they'll give the man them CDs and be like, yo, give out these CDs for us, yeah? And so we can push the studio and like push the music in the studio. And they'll be like, oh no, hold on a minute. Give us some CDs back. Like, they gave you too many. And then they'll take the CDs at the bottom and they got the fingerprints from the guys. And that's how they'll get all the man them in jail for, like, they'll go in the studio talking about stuff, like they're selling guns to them for the low.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so, just unreal. That, like, I mean, I don't even know if that would be legal. I never heard of anything like
it's
that.
Yeah, it's called Boombox. They've done that in my area store. They got
and you just
that.
Thought that the owners were like people who are really fans of hip hop and really trying to support
they were,
shit.
They were like Yardies, like they had dreadlocks and all that. Like they were like one of us, like.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So like, yo, they got them on them. They got them on them. It was mad. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, man, crazy.
Do you feel like, what is your advice when you talk to somebody who's a young guy who's like in the position that basically you were, you know, 10 years ago or however long ago? Like, how do you kind of have that conversation with them where you know on one hand they have to move around a certain way to protect themselves mm-hmm. and to take care of themselves, but at the same time, I mean, you're somebody who's kind of come out of that and you know what's on the other side. Like, how do you encourage somebody who's kind of halfway in the streets or whatever?
Yeah. You see, now that I look back on things, yeah, my perspective, I would say, is like, yo, firstly, you just surround yourself with people of the same ambitions as you, innit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you surround yourself with men that don't want to do good for themselves, like, yo, you're either going to have your own ambition and these guys are going to come be around you and they're just not even going to help your situation. Like, so I would just say to people, like, yo, you don't have to necessarily be a banger, like, to be successful. Like, you can just, like, have a goal of making your money. Like, there's a lot of rappers in the UK, even if you're doing rap, for example, there's a lot of rappers from the UK that are not necessarily street rappers, like, that are doing well for themselves. You know what I'm saying? So just, like, I feel like everyone should just have the goal of being successful. You know what I'm saying? So, and I won't knock a man for whatever route they take to be that, but it's just like, yo, make sure at the back of your mind, yo, that you got ambition to be someone, to chase what you chase your dreams, innit? That's my advice, man. Like, the streets is not necessary.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, unless it's like giving you some sort of way to like make yourself in a better position. Like, I wouldn't advise that to no one ever.
Mm.
I'd always just say, like, just have the goal of being successful, however you want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But if you're like a young kid growing up in London, like, is the option right there for you to just be a square and stay out of all that type of shit? Because I know that in LA that's a problem a lot of times, is that there's young kids who maybe just don't even feel like it's an option for them to not be affiliated with any street shit because they just are going to get fucking bullied or treated however.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Like sometimes it's not an option for people. Sometimes, like, they might have come from troubled situations, man, but it's just like, yo, you still have a choice in life, like well, you can try to, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, just do what, like, whatever's gonna make you have the success or like the happiness you want for yourself.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? So like, whatever route that is, that's what I would advise the man them to do what they're doing, man.
For sure. Yeah. Okay, last question. You been to Dubai lately?
Yeah, that's my spot.
So you're still allowed to go? Because you had a very well-publicized fight or, you know, altercation on the plane coming back from Dubai, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is just, you're probably not going to say shit about it, but this is just, like, the craziest scenario I could ever imagine is a bunch of lit rappers in Dubai sort of, like, narrowly dodging, running into each other, even though they're beefing. And, like, you know, then you just all run into each other on the plane. Like, this is like a hip-hop movie script right here. This doesn't sound like real life.
Yeah. You know what it is, like, you see me, like, I don't really dwell on them things because, like, I'm just blessed. I just feel blessed to be here. Like, like, moments like that, it's like, yo, like, things could be worse for me. I could have still been on, like, being on the streets, like, trying to get it. Like, so, like, if I have to box something up on the plane just real quick, like, it's like,
right.
Like, it's not, things could have been worse than that. Like, I could have been, like, you know what I'm saying? So, it's just like, it could have been a worse situation, you know? So it's just like, it's not major.
For sure, both parties, everybody involved, for sure, including Morrison, could probably have, you know, been doing something better with their time, or this isn't the best use of their time on earth. But let's be real, when you got serious egos on both sides and there's a face-to-face clash,
yeah.
I mean, shit goes down.
Yeah, it definitely does.
But the plane is good because the plane is the ultimate environment where it couldn't go a certain way.
Yeah, you know, I feel like a lot of people will get found out if what they're on, like, in situations they're not comfortable with. Like,
yeah,
plane's lovely for me. I love it on a plane. It's like Joe. Like, if you're really guy, like you can't hide in there. Like, you got if you're on, you're on. Like, so it's just like, yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, okay, what's the plan for now? Are you, like, building up towards an album of some sort? Or what's the goal right now?
I have my single called Wild Gone.
Right.
Should be coming out in a couple of weeks. And I should get them a mixtape this year, man. I'm just working at the moment, man. Just, doing what hits naturally for me. For me, yeah.
Nice. For
the
sure.
plans. That's the plans.
Yeah, it's good to hear. So, are you linking up with any US artists you could tell us about while you're out here?
Yeah. I got a session with Blast. Big up Blast. I'm a big fan of his music.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I linked up with a Nigerian artist like yesterday at the Kunle Gold. We done something. I linked up with some good producers out here as well, man. So it's definitely been a good trip so far.
Damn, getting Blast on a record with you
that's gonna be smooth, man.
That'd be fire.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
We need that.
Yeah, man.
Do you have any like who stands out in your head as like somebody that you would love to get on a track with before you die?
Oh, snap.
Somebody you're not afraid to fan out over, since I'm sure there's a lot of people you wouldn't want to admit that you're a big fan, but there's got to be some people out there that you're like that.
You see me, man. People be surprised with what I like though. Like, I always want to link up with like an Alicia Keys or a Beyonce or something like that. Like,
right.
I like old school shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like,
well, you're a hard rapper. You got to put that with some soft sounds,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man, we need to mix and match it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, no, I definitely like to link up with a few people. Off the top of my head, I can't think of a lot of people, but yeah, man.
Definitely.
Definitely.
You get an Adele verse?
Adele, yeah, that would go crazy.
Is she dating Skepta still? Was that a real thing?
I don't know.
I never really, like, saw too much about that after they announced it.
Big up Adele, though. She's a legend, man. Yeah. Adele, send me that hook chorus, man.
I can see it.
Pull me.
You fuck with Paul Hollywood?
Hollywood, wait,
the British Bake Off.
I don't think I know that.
That's like American UK culture. Oh, like, it's on Netflix, so I'll be watching.
Oh, I ain't seen that yet. I'm gonna check that though. 100. Yeah. I'm 100%
sure. For sure. All right. Hey, thanks for your time, and I look forward to hearing the new records and everything like that, man.
Appreciate it, Adam. I love having me, man.
Yeah. Thanks so much, man.
Love.
Tion Wayne, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Patreon, Instagram, etc. Like, comment, and subscribe. Let's go.
Mm-mm.